been in having a look at, if you like, the purpose of the church. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a number of areas where God wants us to operate. And there are two sorts of areas. One is what God is doing in us, and the second area is what God is doing through us, if you like. And as a group of God's people, remember that we are maturing in Christ. That is one of the things he's wanting to do in you and I. And a few weeks ago, we were thinking about the fact that he's given us much. See, that happened. Last week, or 2 weeks ago now, you would have also had a look at what God is doing through us. And there was this point of being a picture of God to others, which Steve shared with you. But today, we also have to remember that there are two other parts of that process. One is to praise God, and the other is to preach for God. Those are the two areas. And we're going to have a look at those two today. I don't think we're going to have a look at them in much detail. I have it through, I'll hear it, I've got 2 messages. So you are worried, you notice I haven't done a morning introduction. You want to get straight into that sort of thing. I want to just lead you to be encouraged first of all. The first thing is to be encouraged because God has chosen you. I don't know how you feel when someone actually selects you and makes you important. How many of you at school would stand there in line and they're choosing teams? And your great fear was to be last. The last person. The person that everybody says they don't want you. Or how good it was when you're standing in that line and you were first. You were chosen first. God has chosen you. We have a number of verses that I just want to mention to remind us of that. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think it will come up in a moment. I'll just give Jenny a chance to catch up for us here because I made it hard for us. Let's keep going. Be encouraged. God has chosen you. Here it is. But if you've got your Bible, certainly read it with me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the knowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. But notice the start of verse 2, it says, and you have been chosen. Chosen. Now Peter's writing to a group of people who are spread throughout all of the empire at that time. God's elect. If you are can say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you are one of God's elect. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, which we read a little while ago, also says in the first part of it, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. God has chosen you. And you know, if he has chosen you, then that means he's also providing for you and I everything we need, every single thing that you and I need to carry out the task that he's called us to. And if he's called us to be people who pray, and he's called us to be people who preach, or also to be people who are a picture of God, and go back further, to be people who show Jesus Christ in our life, that he's given everyone everything we need to see that happen. Now, it may not be personally in you everything that's been needed, but it means the church can provide all of these things. All of everything that you and I need to see that happen, to see us carrying on that path. So, but if I want to become sometimes what God wants me to be, or if he wants me to preach, or if he wants me to praise him, or he wants me to be a teacher, there are sometimes some things that I have to face that are not easy. And it might mean some work on my part. It might mean some stuff. It may actually involve me having to give up some personal preferences, things that I really would like to do. And it might mean the same for you. Having to give up things that you would really like to do. Steve came in, and just as well Kerry didn't see him, he walked in front of me and he showed me a cup. One of the things I can guess what happened. It's a glorious thing. He's having a coffee and I can't have it, I had to give up. Well, I'm talking about serving God for different things. It's serving Him and enabling to be things that we personally need to give up. Things that are not intuitive. It might require a step of faith. It might mean having to go somewhere and do something that you don't feel capable of. Something that's scary or frightening. And you might have to face your fears. But you see, God has chosen you. And He's given you everything you need to become the sort of people He wants you to be and to do the things He wants you to do. I guess that's the negative things I've been mentioning. What about things like? Don't forget, God may actually want you to do something that you enjoy doing. There are things we do enjoy doing and God may actually want you to enjoy it. Some of you know I spent the last day in Malaysia with a tennis coach. And he actually took me out and gave me to play a few shots, so I learned a little bit, but I wasn't very successful. But that man is going to Kazakhstan, and he left last Wednesday, leaves this Wednesday. He's going to be a tennis coach in Kazakhstan to serve the Lord. So he's using something that he enjoys doing. He says, yeah, this is great. I get to do exercise, I can have drop time. So he can do something that he enjoys doing to serve the Lord, to preach. So don't forget, there are things that we enjoy that God will often use also that might require preparing us. Things we're good at, things that bring satisfaction. How many of us actually look for satisfaction in all parts of our lives and find ourselves dissatisfied and being dissatisfied? Feel like that it's not going to work. No good. Know that God has chosen you. Be encouraged by that. But notice also that He's chosen you to be a source of praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, we read these words. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And right here, Peter says that we are a group of people that have been built into a priesthood, and this priesthood are offering spiritual sacrifices. Do you know that we, as Christians, offer spiritual sacrifices? We're not like the Old Testament people that came with their animals and offered them on the altar, but as Christians, we are called to make some sacrifices, spiritual ones. The first one, that you and I have to give our bodies as living sacrifices. Who can know the verse? Probably on the screen. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your spiritual worship. So we have a spiritual sacrifice, and that sacrifice is our bodies. You are priesthood, and you've been chosen by God, and He's chosen you to make a sacrifice of your own body. The second one. Material things. The things that God has given us, He wants us to share. Material things. The verse you have up there, I think it's Philippians 4, 14. Paul speaking to the Philippians saying, I've received a gift from you, and he says, I've received full payment even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are, notice, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So we can make a sacrifice not only of our bodies, but of our money, or of the things that God has given us, our blessings. That the sacrifice is pleasing to God. We're called upon to do that. Another is this one. We are to offer a sacrifice of doing good. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. He's pleased with those sorts of sacrifices too. Ones where we're doing good. Some of us aren't that well off. I went into two homes that I would think everybody in this particular church would say, I like this one in Malaysia. Mr. Walker and Mrs. Walker turned up and they said, oh, because it was a mansion. Yes. Those people, though, that had their home I was in one room, there was his children in another, but there was another three or four people. No connection to the family, to the living in the house too, they were caring for them. These people were using what they had. Now they were wealthy, because as I said, we are. But you and I can still do much for God by doing good. Serving Him. It's a sacrifice, and notice it's a sacrifice God is pleasing. Just make three notes before we look at the next one. When God, or when one person truly gives himself to God, you know, every other sort of giving that you have becomes easy. When you give yourself to God, everything else becomes easy. And if you can actually give your wallet to God, if you can give your wallet to God, then that is also something that's easy. But if you don't give your wallet to God, then it doesn't have you either. And a lot of us actually give life like you. We say, we're going to do this part for God, but that part is mine. We're going to do this for God, but this is mine. And we're really not giving to God everything. And a sacrifice means everything. A sacrifice. The final one I'll mention today is that we are also offering a sacrifice of praise. Verse 15 of chapter 13 of Hebrews says, the true Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. You and I are called upon to make sacrifices, and one that we are called upon is to do is the sacrifice of praise. God has chosen you and I to be a source of praise for Him. A source of praise for Him. The whole idea, as it says in 1 Peter, to declare the praises, the whole idea of that declaring is to tell out, to speak out about God, to speak about Him. And what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, to speak about Him who called you out of darkness into His light. We're called. God has chosen you. And remember, He's given you everything you need to do that. He's chosen you. I have four questions that I was hoping you might look at, and you will not look at them anymore. But the four questions or statements are, then why should I be a source of praise to God? Why should I be that? Second one is, how can I do that? I'm not going to look at that very briefly much. The other one is because it's connected with that what God wants for us. It's what does it mean to be a preacher, if you like, or a declarer of the message? The first and last one would have been, how can I be a preacher? Because most of us are saying, I can't be a preacher. We're going to have a look at some of those. So why be a source of praise to God? Why God? Well, first of all, as a source of praise to God, the church, and therefore the believer, reveals the truth of that God. When I was younger, I used to go out to my cousin's time at a place called Tururina. David spent a lot of time out there. We used to go spotlighting, and often in the bits of the light when you went spotlighting, you'd see the glistening eyes of the animals that you're looking at. Of course, you weren't allowed to shoot cows and stuff because they did. But what happened? I said, there's just an eyes or a flash of eyes in the spotlight of Tururina onto the beast or the animal. You could see the eyes, and when that light shone there, you could see it. You could see what it was. You know, our praise is the same sort of thing. We can sometimes see the twinkle of God acting in our lives, but then when we begin to speak about Him and praise Him, it's like everybody, look at what God is doing in my life, and we're shining a spotlight on Him. We're revealing the truth about Him. The question comes up, is that what your life is like? Are you actually praising God, revealing the truth about God by the things that you do and say? Psalm 18 verse 3 just says this, it says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise. The word is praise without our voice, in fact, that's the sort of idea. But the very basic meaning of that is to cause to shine. Cause to shine. When we praise God, you and I are throwing a spotlight on God. We're saying, look at what He's done. Look at who He is. See who He wants to be a part of your life and can be a part of your life. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be glorified. And we actually focus in on Him, revealing the truth about God. That's one reason why we should be a source of praise. And as a church, you and I can do that. our praise, sin, if they look at what's happened in my life, and we're shining the light on God. But as a source of praise to God, the church or the believer also is encouraged in their own spiritual life. How often are we actually encouraging ourselves with the honest thing? So when you're praising God, you can encourage yourself. Earlier stages, we tried very nice and often to train Jacqueline and Stacey to say thank you. Yeah, we tried. Now, sometimes we're very successful, and other times we think, what happened? But we train our children, don't we, to say thank you. Particularly when someone has done something nice for them. We try to do that. But it's not just the point of saying, learn to say thank you because someone's done something nice to you. What we want to encourage them, or teach them more importantly, is they need to actually have an appreciative heart. The ability to say, I appreciate someone's effort. Otherwise, what happens? We become quite selfish. Very ungrateful. We don't appreciate what's happening around us, and we don't appreciate what people do for us. We become selfish and self-centered, ungrateful. Well, when you start to say thank you to God, you're actually recognizing God has done something for you, but you're beginning to appreciate what He's doing to you. Instead of becoming self-centered, instead of becoming ungrateful, and in fact ignoring what God has done in your life. And when you recognize He's working in your life and you're not encouraged, and if you're not encouraged, then you need to start thinking, what's going on? God is working in my life. He's doing something in my life that's exciting. And if God's working in my life, then I can experience grace because, well, God did that. Well, what else are you going to get me to do? So what other step is He going to take me on? Remember, we need to be thankful. And that's why you and I can be a source of praise to God. We can express and be encouraged in our own spiritual life and more. It's exciting. Otherwise, you and I will end up like the 10 lepers. One came and said, thank you, what did the other 9 do? And they never came back. They never came back and said to their Lord Jesus, thank you. I wonder if you'd ever thought about yourself like that. Am I one of the 9 that's actually experienced God's blessing in my life, and I'm actually walking the way, and I'm not saying thank you? Am I actually generating within my life, as you're thinking like that, a spirit of ungratefulness? A spirit that says, I don't need this, I don't care, I'll just take whatever I get. Our world is built like that today. I will take whatever I can get. Just stop and think about it. You think about the people we see, the people we know, the ads we see on television, the ads we read in the paper. Wherever you go, it is all, what can I get? I'll take everything I can get. There's not much expression of thankfulness there or appreciation. Be encouraged. God has chosen you. He's chosen you to be a source of praise. And by being a source of praise, you can also encourage yourself. The next one is you can also encourage the lives of others, the spiritual lives of others. Others actually need to hear what God is doing in our lives. Some of us actually we sort of clamp up, we don't say what God is doing much, and others think God's not working in anybody's life. Nobody's experiencing anything. We need to actually be encouraging one another, talking about what He seems to be doing in our lives. Because when someone else thinks, look what God did in that person's life, yeah, I've got a similar problem. I have a similar issue. God worked in, maybe He might help me in the same way. And that person is becoming encouraged, and that person is beginning to think, where am I being? That God can still work in my life, just like He did with this person or with that person. There's a fellow in Malaysia that I've met over quite a number of years. His name is Stephen Chow. He was a big encouragement to me. Still is. He's a CEO, we use in our terms today, of a group called ESDA. ESDA is a group that helps us and provides needs for physically and handicapped people. And Stephen is the CEO of this particular group and shares with them and sits down with them and spends a huge amount of time with them. And as he sits with them, as he's able, he shares Christ. And that's what he does. But Stephen's not perfect, he's got a few problems. but he really loved the Lord. And his desire to serve the Lord is special, even when at times things are difficult. They're facing, I think, their eighth move as a group, because they don't have enough finances, they have their own building, their eighth move in 3 years. Now, by no. And here he is, on Wednesday night, he stands up and he starts to pray. And he's praying, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for the way you've guided us. Thank you. He's praising God even though there's things going wrong. You know what else Stephen experiences? He's actually suffering from cerebral palsy. But when he prays, he can hardly get a word out. It's amazing, though, what he does. He had great encouragement. He's suffering like this, and you know, he can relate. He relates to these people with handicaps. He sits down there with them on their beds or wherever that might be, and he's struggling sometimes to get the words out that his mind knows he can say. Great encouragement. And he's praising God. Brothers and sisters, you and I are part of God's kingdom, we're in his church, we're here with his people. And we are called upon to be a source of praise to God. Source of praise to God. He's chosen you to do it. He's given you everything you need to do it. And how are we doing it? Because you reveal the truth about God when you praise him. You help yourself and you will help others. It's a great reason to do it, isn't it? Bringing a courage. Because others will be praising God when you do it too. That's part of what God calls to do and to do. I was going to talk about how can I be a source of praise, and I won't do that. I just wanted to have a look at some overviews. First of all, a source of praise. And the next one, what does it mean to be a preacher or a declarer, if you like, of God's witness? What does that mean? Because that is another thing that God has called us as his people to be. This church here, this local group of believers, God has called us to be preachers or declarers of his message. The first thing you want to know is that when you do declare, you are obeying the Lord. Our command is given us. John chapter 20 verse 21, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus commanded his followers to go. Earlier in John, he also prayed. Jesus prayed that the followers, his followers, would actually do that. So not only is he commanded it, but Jesus himself is praying that it will happen. That it will happen. And there are many others. Each of the Gospels, by the way, has a commission. Every one of them. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Luke 24, 45, but the one you all know, you probably know, I think it's on the screen, not on the screen. Go on, Father, okay, we'll read it. It's this one, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, notice the Great Commission. And we're told to go, and we're told to teach, to make disciples, to baptize. And that is what we're called to do. Did Jesus say, oh, if you feel like it, go? No, he said this, therefore go and make. It's a commandment. So why? Do I want it? What does it mean to be a preacher? If you are doing what God has asked, you're obeying him. Another verse would be this one. Tonight, you're involved in a very wonderful ministry. Have you ever thought about it? When I'm actually a declarer of the message of God, I'm in a really special ministry. I'll read part of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through to 21. Paul writes, he says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation, that is to make peace with one another, and also to offer peace to the world around us. We've been offered that too. A ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he committed to us this message of reconciliation. And this is really exciting. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Are you an ambassador? Most of the ambassadors that I've seen usually are wandering around there with God, all their special people, and they're around them. They're somewhat important. But you are important to God because he has chosen you to be an ambassador for him. To declare or to preach the wonderful message. It's really special. It's also remarkable duty. I didn't put this down as one of the sacrifices that we mentioned earlier, but it was going to be. Romans 15 verse 16 says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel. It's a priestly duty to proclaim the gospel. It's a sacrifice that's required on our part as well. And the reason is so the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering to God. It's amazing, the people that you and I may actually see come to the Lord, and God is pleased with, and He sees it as an acceptable sacrifice to Him. So we have a wonderful duty and a wonderful privilege. Wonderful privilege. The next one that I mention, know this though, that as a messenger, a preacher, there are going to be some people who are not going to listen. There are going to be some people who are going to reject the message. Paul writes these words. He says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who have been saved and to those who are perishing. So we are a sweet aroma. But that is what it says in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other the fragrance of life. We are actually, for some people, the smell of death to them as a preacher. It's not nice thinking, is it? Not the nice little thought, oh, that's good. When the smell of death to some, what it's meaning is there are some who are going to reject them. There are some who will. And sometimes we actually forget, we think they're rejecting us. As Samuel had to learn in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the people came and said to him, we want a king, you're a bit old. They then said to him, your son's not doing what you do. He said, we want a king. And Samuel goes away very brokenhearted. They're rejecting me. And God tells him to stand that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And we need to understand, when people hear the message and reject it, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God and His message. So there is a downside, if you like, of knowing that we are to be preachers or declarers. The message of God. How can I be a preacher then? Well, first of all, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, Jesus said this thing, you will receive power of the Holy Spirit to go into the world to be my witnesses. Now you and I actually have God's help to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit's there to help us to be witnesses. He's there to help us. But still some of us say, but I can't speak. I can't do it. We get tongue-tied. But stand in front of these people and they say, oh, God's no good or whatever. We would go to church and I'd stand there and put your mouth into what? That's because many of us are putting pressure on ourselves saying, you have to say something. You don't always have to say something. To be a preacher doesn't mean you have to always speak. We want in our minds to declare the message means I need to speak. I'm going to run through a few verses. We are witnesses, but we don't always witness with our lips, and we don't need to witness with our lips all the time. James chapter 2 verse 8, I'll entertain this one. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. But James writes, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Now he might speak, but I wonder whether the doing there is actually a lot more connected to the way that he's acting and living his life. He's showing his faith by the way he lives. And we need to understand, you can be a preacher and a declarer of the message of God without actually having to speak all the time. Live your life praising God. Why? Because people notice and show them the light on what God is doing in your life. When people see what God is doing in your life, and they may begin to say, well, maybe there's more to what God, this is about God than I thought before. Maybe there's more about it. Remember, you don't actually have to always use your lips to be, if you like, a declarer or a preacher. God's purpose for us as a church here is to be like Christ. And He then wants to use us. He wants us to remember to be a teacher to others of God. He wants us to be a source of praise to God, and He wants you and I to be preachers of His message. That's what he wants from you and I. And he's given us everything we need to do that. But the story that comes when Jesus returned to heaven, Gabriel, the angel, is waiting. And he's coming up and he's talking with Gabriel, and Gabriel was really interested in what Jesus had done. And he says, well, what did you do? And Jesus, you know, has a brief gospel message. You know what I mean? He says, well, I went down there, I read amongst people, I didn't do the wrong thing, I showed them how they should live. But then I went and allowed myself to die on the cross. And I came back to life. And Gabriel said, wow. And he then said this, I'll read it to you. And he says, and what is your plan for getting this done, this message about salvation? And Jesus responded, he says, I've left the message of the gospel in the hands of a dozen or so men. I'm trusting for them to spread it everywhere. And Gabriel was surprised. He says, what? 12 men? Then what if they fail? And Jesus replied, Jesus has no other plan for his message to reach out to the people of this world, and let's bring it into here, to the people in this room and the people around us. He has no other plan than except for you and I. You and I are the people he wants to be declaring his message, to be a source of praise. Are you a source of praise? Are you living his message? The message of the gospel before others? God has chosen you to do it. He's chosen every one of us. And some of us say, I need more. Well, we're here to support one another. It's not the church here, it's a body. Support one another. How about yourself? Are you a source of praise? And are you a messenger declaring the message of the gospel? My life will buy you. Whatever you do, God will be pleased.